Next, we want to welcome the author of a book titled, Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. I want to welcome Roxanne Emmerich to AM 850 KFUO. Is it with a K or a CH?
It's with a CH, but you said it right. It's Roxanne Emmerich.
Ah, good to have you with us today, Roxanne. It is Monday.
Thank God it's Monday.
Sometimes we return from a busy weekend just so we can relax at work.
It might feel like one of those for me, too.
How many American workers, of the percentage of American workers, what would you think the ratio of those who are really engaged is to the ones that just kind of show up?
Well, we already know that. So your Gallup did that research a while back, and they said that 70% of the workforce just shows up, which is just so sad, because every one of us on our very first day of work, we shined our shoes, we were looking good, and we had high intentions of creating amazing results. But what happens is we come into the workplace and we realize that, I heard your verse for the day about being kind and compassionate, we find out people aren't that in the workplace oftentimes. And so they're gossiping about each other, they're whining about what can't be done, they're filled with excuses, and everyone's shooting wildly for mediocrity. And so here were all of our dreams to be great that just gets shattered because we surround ourselves with people who don't get it, and we don't know how to get them to get it. So instead we bring down our commitments to be extraordinary down to mediocrity, which just isn't okay with me. I don't know about with you, but I just think we're supposed to be in this world to make something big happen.
Is there something we should be doing or thinking about over the weekend so that we're prepared to return to work on Monday? Do we need to prep for Monday on Sunday?
Well, I don't know if it's so much about prepping for the work as it is for prepping our mindset, because it's our mindset. You know, in the book I talk about making commitments, and people aren't so big on commitments, and oftentimes the commitments don't mean much. But this book is about commitments, about how we make our customers successful instead of satisfied, commitments about how we treat each other with kindness and compassion, and we live our word. If we say we're going to do something, we do it, and if we hit some obstacle and we just plain can't do it, then we let people know before so we keep our integrity. So the book is about living in integrity and the results that happen as a result of that. So it's not uncommon for the businesses that we've worked for. We've worked with a lot of banks, in fact, that usually aren't very fun places to work. And you know, after doing our work, we'll have a bank that hadn't grown more than 2% a year over a decade that will grow 35% in 30 days just by getting people to live their word.
There are, not to pass the responsibility from the worker to the company, but there are institutions out there that are dysfunctional, that aren't going to be fixed. You're not going to be able to fix it, and it makes going to work a chore. Should you move to a better place?
Well, I think the reality is you can move to another place, but most of them are dysfunctional, and so it's like going out of the frying pan and into the fire. And so what we've been teaching all along is, because people will say to me before we start doing our work, oh, you'll never get through to the people here. You'll never get through to the people here. They're just plain crazy. It's like adult daycare here. Well, I hear that everywhere I go. It's just how it is. And so, but I'm a firm believer that in our hearts we all want to be good humans. We just forgot how to be that because we saw other people acting like children in the workplace, and so we take on those childish behaviors that don't serve us well, and suddenly results aren't there, and then there's a recession, and then things get worse, and it's a downward spiral because the spirit isn't there. And so when you heal the spirit of an organization and get people to live their word and be kind to each other and be amazing to the customer, then there's no need to participate in the recession. Many of our companies that we're working with right now are having record quarters, record years. They didn't get the memo that there's a recession because their people are showing up like there's not a recession.
Do the better companies that you are associated with present clear expectations to the employees so the employee doesn't have to second guess what they want at the top?
It's about clear expectations, certainly, and it's also about celebrating those clear expectations. So within the book, I explain a lot about how to set those expectations and how to celebrate them, because the brain reprograms to positive celebrations, and so it is the responsibility of everyone, not just management, to figure out what are the things that we're going to measure that matter, and then to get those measurements up there every day and celebrate those every day and have quarterly celebration and daily huddles and have lots of positive focus, because what happens in the workplace is all we talk about is all the negative things, which there's always going to be negative things. You always have to correct people's behavior, but what are the things things that are going right.
Mm. You suggest that we go beyond our job description as much as we can. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I don't believe that we're hired. And I explain this in the book. I don't think we're hired to for our past experiences or even for our resume. I think we're hired for our ability to see what isn't there and make it happen. So if you're waiting for someone to tell you to do something, you're totally missing the point. And there's nothing more fulfilling in the whole wide world than going into a job and then going, hey, instead of complaining about this, I'm going to go step up and I'm going to make something happen there. So I'm going to go up to my manager and I'm going to say, hey, I see there's a problem here. I've researched. I have three different recommendations. Of those three recommendations, I like this one the best. I'd like to be in charge of making that happen. Now, that's the kind of employee that managers do backflips over. But the other employees are basically complaining about managers for not doing something because we all play the victim role. And so what we're trying to do is stomp out the victimhood and get people powerful again in the work that they do. On page 25 of the book, there's a quote by Thomas Paine. He says, lead, follower, get out of the way. And so it's about taking leadership, and that leadership is not a position. It's a way of being. And we all are called to be that leader.
How many businesses you've consulted have these competitions going on within the walls of the business rather than the store across the street, real competitor?
Yeah, what we do with every business that we work with is we help them set up the systems of celebrations. Like, okay, choose 3 to 5 things that really matter, and then let's have daily huddles about it. We'll have positive focuses in those daily huddles and celebrate the results in that. And we'll have quarterly celebrations that are wild and crazy and fun that really support each other and build the spirit of people. And I've done this in a lot of banks. I do them in all industries, but we have a primary business. One of my divisions only works with banks, and if this works in banks, this can work anywhere because there's a whole lot of lack of emotion in most banks, to put it lightly. And so for them to come alive so that when a customer walks in the door, they're all looking up and saying, hey, Mr. Jones, great to see you. Great to see you, Mr. Jones. Come on over here, Mr. Jones. I'll take care of you. That's the kind of experience that people want when they walk into a bank or any business for that matter, and that's the kind of stuff that makes us recession-proof.
Our phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest, author Roxanne Emmerich, who has written Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. And we haven't talked about the customers, and that's why we're in business to begin with, isn't it?
Yeah, we lose track of that. You know, businesses get all about being internal, but you know the reality is it's our job to wow the customers every day. And when I say wow, I don't just mean with goofy stuff. I'm talking about wow them with really showing we care. And that's a part that I think has really been lost in today's business, is people stopped showing that they care. They stopped showing that they care for each other, and they stopped showing that they care for the customer. And there's a saying that I have in the book here. I'm trying to find the page that it's on, but it's called, life gives to the givers and takes from the takers, and the world has a perfect accounting system. And so I don't know if you ever saw Wallace Waddell's book from years ago, but he was a retired Methodist pastor who lived in a small mining community, and there was so much poverty consciousness that he wrote a little book, and in that book he talked about the 10 times multiplier of always giving 10 times more value than the cash you receive, and people will beat a path to your door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the core concept that we teach our clients, is how do you create 10 times more value? And that goes beyond just being friendly. It means really looking out for that customer.
My first impression when I call a business and I've got automated phone mail is negative. How important is it for a business to have somebody there manning the phones live?
I think it's as important as air is to human beings. You know, we need relationships. You know, people don't do business with businesses. People do business with people. And so a voicemail is not a people experience. And so, you know, and that's the exact that tells the exact story of how we've forgotten who we are. And sure, that may save a little bit of time, but how important is it to just have relationships with people and to get that, you know, common receptionist who's always answering the phone who goes, hey, Joe, great to hear from you. How are you doing today? And can help you with the problems. That's the kind of stuff that is missing, that when we get back in alignment, it's almost like magic. The businesses just turn around. We've taken a lot of banks that were in huge trouble with FDIC and turned them around completely within a year. One of them, within 3 years, is now in the top 100 safest banks in America list and became one of the highest performers in their state. When we started working with them, they were one of the lowest. And so you can't tell me it can't be done, because we do it over and over again. And it's not even just the skill sets, although skill sets help. It's the mindsets. And this book, thank God it's Monday, teaches you and your people the mindsets. And so, you know, I'm recommending every graduate should have this before they get into the dysfunctional workplace and get destroyed. every manager who's having a challenge with their employees should have their employees read it all together and make commitments. And if they go to the Thank God It's Monday website, we've given away for free every Monday morning, there's an audio lesson for a minute that teaches the basics about how to be a good human at work and how to be powerful at work. And our customers love those, and we make those available for free as well.
And it sounds, Roxanne, like these principles would apply to churches and faith-based groups and nonprofits as well as, you know, retailers and businesses and corporations.
It belongs everywhere, you know, because I think so often I've been to churches where they say, oh, I stopped going to this church because there were so many dysfunctional people. Well, you know, that's the part of the nature of humans. And so what happens is that people don't have the skill sets to work through the issues. And I've seen so many church boards blow up as a result of it. And it impacts the church in huge ways. And so it's absolutely imperative that all organizations understand that making, you know, that learning to deal with other people when they're being dysfunctional, because they will be dysfunctional, and accepting that as part of the program as opposed to getting mad and quitting, it brings enlightenment to the people around us, and that's our job, is to instead of discounting people and saying they're just so sick I have to stay away, to say that they're, you know, this person needs some help. Let me show them the way.
One of your principles is stated as clean up your messes. What does that mean?
Oh, yes. On page 37, I have a bullet about the clean up your messes. When you blow it, you need to restore your integrity. So what that means is, let's say that, Paul, that you have a project due to me by Tuesday at 2 o'clock, and let's say that it's now 3 o'clock on Tuesday and there's no project on my desk, as you had promised. Now, what has happened is that there's a violation in our relationship, and now I'm wondering, well, if I give Paul other things in the future, is Paul going to deliver? But if Paul comes to me 10 minutes before and says, I got to tell you, I hit the wall on something here. I want to do everything humanly possible to get this to you on time. I hit some snags. Can I have an extension? And he renegotiated before, he would still be in integrity. I wouldn't be thinking, no, I don't know if I can trust Paul in the future. Or if after he blew it, he comes to me and says, Roxanne, I so blew this. This is not okay. This is not who I am. Here's what I'm doing to clean up my mess, to make sure that I get this done and to you on time. And here's my word I'm giving you that this won't happen again. Now I can trust you again, Paul. See how that works?
Be straightforward.
Be straightforward, because people try to pretend like nothing has been violated, but it has been violated. And now subsequently, less and less work is given to those people. And by the way, if people are giving you less and less work, it's usually a sign that you're on. And they're always surprised when they go to the unemployment line. But, you know, the key is, when you're doing good work, you're going to get more and more work. Not that you have to do it all. You just have to, you're the kind of person who shows that you're responsible, and you can get it done through other people as well. And so you want people giving you more and more all the time. That's a blessing.
Here in the church, we know all about servant leadership as exhibited by Jesus. But you really suggest that we live a life of profound service, and that by serving, we're actually leading, huh?
Well, I'm one of those people who really thinks that Jesus came here to teach us how to be. And he was the ultimate example of someone who took a stand in life and wasn't living out of victimhood, and just went against all odds to make magical things happen. And I really believe that miracles are everyday things, that we create miracles when we live as he did, and don't take no for an answer, and just keep finding ways to be of greater service to the world. And so I think that it's our calling. And when we tap back into the calling, I have client after client who calls me and says, not only is our business completely turned around, but my life is turned around. I'm getting along with my husband now. My children are looking at me like I matter again. This stuff really works everywhere. And so, you know, it's about getting over our self-consumed nature that the world has taught us how to be, and get about that servant leadership.
What are some of the characters that we work with? Do you have personality profiles for people that you present in the book, and how we can deal with them better?
Oh, well, okay, so I have a whole chapter on gossips, and let me tell you, I think that the gossiping is the worst thing that happens in the workplace, and it's so universal, and it's so, and I have seen businesses, the minute they take a stand against gossiping and everyone gets, no, you don't get to gossip here. If you have a problem with someone, go directly to that person, ask for what you need from them, suddenly their financials just take off. But it's more than that. It's like who can feel safe in a work environment where your soul is so violated, where people are saying nasty things about you that aren't true, but they don't have the dignity and the respect for themselves to come to you directly and ask specifically for what they want. I always liken it to the worst kind of workplace violence you can have. It's worse than taking baseball bats and beating each other up. At least you can recover from that. And so it's about getting people to really grow up and mature in asking people for what they want. And so, you know, if you have somebody in your workplace that is a gossip, get this book in their hand, help them understand that there's far more productive ways, and help them understand this so hurts not only the person they're gossiping about, but the people who listen to it. And the person who's doing it is coming from a place of low self-esteem. That's why they do it in the first place. And so recognizing that they need to go to work on themselves to make sure that they feel comfortable in their own skin is a huge breakthrough in the mindsets for people who are in the habit of gossip.
Roxanne, do you think we could reduce some of the gossip in the workplace by not revealing so much about our own personal lives at work? People bring too much information to work sometimes.
Sometimes they do. There's an appropriate line, certainly. And again, that's something you can help people with and say, you know, I think you're going over the line. That's making me uncomfortable. I would ask that you not share things like that at work. And so for people, just to ask for what they need. You know, we teach people a very basic, simple system, and it's in the book as well, that when you need something from someone, ask for it following a formula. So the formula is, Joe, when you said this, it caused this mess. My request is, and it's very important to use that word, so it's very, very clear. It's not like you're thinking and you're hoping, you're wishing, you're wanting. It's a request. My request is that from now on you do this instead and be very specific. Do I have your commitment? And so what we're using is a strong language approach as opposed to a passive-aggressive approach, which is rolling the eyes, oh, I wish that person wouldn't do that. All that crazy-making stuff that becomes so normalized, it's especially prevalent in the Midwest. There's so much alcoholism in the Midwest, and passive-aggressive behavior is part of the family disease of alcoholism, and so people bring that into the workplace, and they normalize that. In fact, they're shocked when you just confront a problem head-on. They can't even imagine that people could do such a thing. They're thinking that you're the dysfunctional one. So what we do is we help organizations get through that to understand, no. When you care about someone and you're loving to each other, you go directly into the eye of the needle.
We were talking about, earlier this morning, talking about bullies, talking about racism with one psychologist and biblical counselor, and then about bullying in the elementary school level. And the same kind of stuff happens in the workplace, doesn't it?
Yeah, I call it adult daycare in the book. It's the same kind of dysfunctional behaviors that we learn in the fourth grade that we bring all the way through into the workplace. You know, and at some point, you know, we just have to grow up. And so, you know, part of what the book is teaching, and thank God it's Monday process, is, you know, those little things that nobody really showed us how to do and how to be. I don't know how we miss so many of these important lessons in life, but bringing things down to its simplest. I've had people who come up to me after a seminar, and they say, gosh, I've been in therapy for 25 years. I learned more the last 2 days about how to not be crazy than anything, you know. But nobody shows us what are the basics about just being truthful and honest and ask for what you want and being kind and holding your line in the sand, too, and say, hey, here's my line in the sand. Don't cross over that line.
You mentioned busting batitudes and suggest that there's even saboteurs at work with you. How do you go about arresting that?
Well, according to the research, 17% of the workplace population are actually actively disengaged, which means that they're doing more to work against you than they are for you.
And is that kind of a passive-aggressive behavior? Because sometimes you don't know if that person's really doing it or not.
Exactly, and that's the crazy making part is you have a sense for it, but you don't really know. And so let me show you something that I teach in the book as well for dealing with people like that, because you have a sense but you have no facts is the problem. And so we teach something in the book. I'm looking through my pages here to see if I can find the page for it, but it's called The Conversation. And in The Conversation, what we're teaching is how to go right into the eye of the needle and say, hey, Mac, when you do this, I'm so excited about where our team is going. My sense is that you don't share that excitement, and that's okay, because maybe this isn't your thing. But if this isn't your thing, you've got to go find your thing. And so what you've really done there is you've said, I can tell you're not here. I mean, you're not really here. And they may say to you, well, why do you say that? I don't know. It's just my feeling. It's just my sense. And the key part is that you don't go into giving facts, because that's what they're looking for, is to manipulate facts.
Uh-huh.
All you say is, it's just my sense. I wish it would go away. But if this isn't your thing, you've got to go find your thing. See, when you have that conversation with someone, it's a very loving conversation, because what you're saying is, I can see that you've chosen to be miserable here. Now, you have a choice. Either you can choose a better attitude here, or you can find someplace else, but trust me, you'll have the same issue there. Because everywhere you go, there you are, and people don't get that part, that we choose joy and we choose misery at every step of the way. And most people don't get that. They think they are a victim of their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dear friend, Greg Link from Covey Link, Stephen Covey's partner. And he and his wife Annie lost their son. He just didn't wake up one morning. And I saw them a month later, and I said, gosh, you guys are doing so well. And they said, we chose to. Now, they still have sad days. This kid was perfectly healthy. He just didn't wake up one morning. And so what a devastating thing to have happen. But they've chosen to go back out into the world and be as positive and joyful and contributing as they possibly can. And that's a choice. And what people don't get is that we choose our joy, we choose our misery, mm-hmm. and at any moment we can change that choice.
You're going to spend a third of your life or more at work. Why be miserable, huh?
You know, not only that, but why would we want to get to the end of our life and look back at our work life and go, huh, I woke up in the morning, I ate breakfast, I drove to work, I punched the clock, I did my job, I punched out, I went home, I ate dinner, I went to sleep, I woke up, I ate breakfast, I drove to work, I punched in, I did my job. Yeah, exactly. You know, how fulfilling is that? And so, you know, I'm not a believer that all of life is about work, but I am a believer that wherever you are, fully show up. So when you're at home, have a hoot at home. Have some fun with your kids. Be there with them. Be present. But when you're at work, have a hoot at work. Be present. Be powerful. Decide to make some things happen. I called all of our CEOs who were on our full program a few years ago before
we're
the recession.
We're out of time. I'd like to hear the story.
No.
Thank God it's Monday. Roxanne Emmerich, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
All right.